Thank you for being here and being faithful and letting me whisper to you each night. I get a little more of that once in a while. You've been so kind and gracious, and I do apologize for not being able to stay in fellowship. I appreciate all you've done to be faithful to the meeting and to be kind to me. Philemon, verse 24, please, if you would. We're going to look at three portions of Scripture. If you'd stand with me, we'll do that now. Philemon 24, these are, I believe, in chronological order, the order in which they were written. Philemon, verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, fellow laborers. Should this be on? There's not anything there. Okay. Orange, yeah. He had an orange tie on the other night. That'll be good. Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then 2 Timothy 4:10, you know this. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. I don't think this church needs this sermon, but I've been strongly impressed to preach it, so I'll obey the Lord. And then you decide. I'll report, you decide. Three times Demas is mentioned in the Bible. Only three times. Number one, my fellow laborer. Number two, Demas. Number three, Demas hath departed me. From me. Lord, guide me and help me to say all you want said. Give me the strength I need physically, but more than that, the power I need spiritually. Use me to do your work. Thank you that you have in your goodness and kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about a departure or a detour. Demas makes a departure. Let's learn a couple things about him. The person, his name is Demas, probably short of Demetrius. It means governor of the people. He's somebody. He's likely from the church at Thessalonica. That's where he went back to. Great church. Finest church, some would say, in the New Testament. That's the person. Notice his privilege. He had the privilege of being with Paul the apostle in his travels. Wow. Wouldn't you love that? See Paul preach on Mars Hill. See Paul stand up against the crowds that wanted to kill him. See the Apostle Paul wax eloquent. He had the privilege of being with the Apostle Paul in his trials. He was there when Paul was placed under the first house arrest. He was there when Paul was near death. The person, part of the departure, the privilege. But notice the progression. Number one, he's a fellow laborer. Number three, he's departed. But in between, he's just Demas. If I gave a different title to the message than a detour departure, I might call it just Demas. He's a fellow laborer, and then he's not favored, and then he's forsaking the Apostle Paul. Now, why did he do that? The Bible tells us. Here's the problem. Having loved this present world. Now, I want to show you something from Colossians, if you don't mind, illustrate it. And I would like, Brother Ms. DiMartino, would you stand? Brother Ryan and you folks, would you stand? Brother Zoller, would you stand? Would y'all stand? I'm going to show you what the Bible does. There's eight people in the Bible that have been mentioned, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Ms. DiMartino is a great lady. She made me some bone chicken broth. It was great. She gave me a whole bag of stuff tonight. I'll have to violate every rule of the TSA to get it back at the airplane. Thank you, Mr. DiMartino. I appreciate you. Sit down. Mrs. DiMartino. Brother DiMartino, he goes on then to say, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Brother DiMartino's a good man. He dresses sharp. He has great socks. He's faithful. Got a good attitude. I appreciate him. Thank you, Brother DiMartino. You may be seated. And then it goes on to say, and Jesus, which is called justice, these are my fellow laborers. Brother Brian, you're a blessing. Let God work in your life faithful here. Glad you've come. God bless you. You may be seated. Epaphras, who is one of you, what's your name, sweetie? Sophia. Sophia's a sweet young lady. She's got a nice smile. She's nervous now. Nobody can see you but me and the preacher. It's all right. And she's going to grow up to do great things for God. Thank you, Sophia. You can sit down. And what's your name? Amber. It says, always laboring. And then it says, Luke, the beloved physician. I think I may have skipped a couple. Amber, you're just great. God bless you. And your name is? Devin. Devin's a good guy. Stands tall, smiles, shakes a good hand, comes, sits in the front row. I like that. And Ms. Oliver, what a great lady. You can be seated. Ms. Oliver, always in her place, always a good spirit, taking care of five children, and a husband who's more trouble than all of them put together. Thank you, Ms. Oliver. Now he says something about everybody. Everybody. Epaphras, a servant of Christ. Nesmus, faithful and beloved servant. Jesus, part of the brethren that comfort me. And then he comes to the very end. Oh, he said, Luke, the beloved physician. You're Luke, the beloved physician. Comes to the very end, he says, and Demas, and Brother Oliver. Thank you. You may be seated. You notice anything? Paul deliberately has something positive to say about everybody but Demas. He just says, Demas. Demas is there. Now, there was another person who left the Apostle Paul. He was the detour. His name was John Mark. And John Mark left Paul badly in the lurch. He wanted to come back. He returned. He asked to on the next missionary journey. Paul said no. He refused. Barnabas said, I'll give him a chance. Hey, be one of the guys that gives people a chance. Barnabas gave Paul a chance. Took him in when nobody else would. Now he said, oh, come on, Paul. Give him a break. I think he can do better. Paul said, no way, Jose. He messed us up. He left us in the lurch. He cannot go with us. And they had such a dissension that they parted company. Both of them served God. But Paul wouldn't take John Mark back. But wait a minute. I read you 1 Timothy 4:10. If you'd look at 1 Timothy 4:11, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 4:11. It says, right after the verse, it says, Demas hath forsaken me. It says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me, with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul was wrong. Barnabas was right. Mark was repentant. Mark had the opportunity to return, and Paul requests him at the end of his life. Now, I want to give you some declarations, all right? Some applications of what we've just looked at. Number one, the greatest privilege any child of God can have is to serve God. Amen. Did you know Jesus chose 12 disciples that they might be with him and he might teach them? The greatest privilege you have in serving Jesus is you get to be with Jesus. You get to be involved in eternal work. Your pastor often says, most important thing happens in this town, happens right here at this location. He is exactly right. He says, your building that you're going to build ought to be the nicest building in Madison. He is exactly right. We didn't get there right away, but we did eventually. Got a very nice building to testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, backsliding is always or almost always gradual. I bet you 5 years from now, some of you who are in this room will be out of the will of God, living in the world, drinking booze. I don't know who. I just know that's how it normally goes. Crowd this size. But it will not happen this way. You'll not stop tonight on your way home, buy a 12-pack of beer and get loaded. You won't do that. You'll start skipping some evening services. But before that, you'll miss a Bible reading. Slack off on the prayer time. Not show up for soul winning. Not a lot. Just a little bit. Just gradual. Nobody goes from Demas, my fellow laborer, to Demas hath forsaken me. There's always a place in the middle that's just Demas. Number three, it is not enough to avoid being bad. God wants us to do good. All right? We think we're not smoking, we're not drinking, we're not using drugs, we're not watching garbage on the television, we're not viewing pornography. We are, therefore, good Christians. Now, good Christians don't do those things. But good Christians do a lot more than not doing those things. Good Christians love God. Good Christians walk with God. Good Christians fellowship with God. Good Christians build a relationship with God. We have a men's house. We tell the men, this is not about a program, it's about a person. His name is Jesus. We had a man in our men's house, was an engineer. Worked while he was there, made $100,000 plus a year. Smart guy. Did everything the curriculum required him to do. And he said, okay, I'm done. I've been missed 6 months. Can I graduate? My director said, nope. He said, you didn't build a relationship with God. All you did was check the boxes. He didn't like it. His wife agreed. He agreed to let the Lord continue to work in his life. He stayed there several months more. Today, he leads the singing sometimes in our church. He sings specials. He's a valuable member of First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. You know why? Because he got beyond not doing bad. He got beyond checking boxes. He got into building a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Next number. Those who make their decisions on the basis of now will always decide wrong. I want to come back to the problem in Demas' departure. Demas had departed me, having loved this present world. Now, the word world there is not the word cosmos, not the world system. Could have been that. It's the world eon, we would say it. Age. You know what Demas wanted? He wanted the now. Hey, you can give God money to the building and reap later, or you can keep it and spend it now. You can spend time out Friday on bus visitation, win some people to Christ. You can keep that time for yourself. Have it now. You can make decisions in your family that will benefit you in the short term materially and harm you in the long term spiritually. Or you can live for the now. We live in a now society. We want everything now. We don't want to put it in the oven, we want to put it in the microwave. We want everything right now, instant. But God is a long-term God. Next one is this. The hardest time in your life to stay faithful, whenever that is the most important time. When you just don't feel like it. I don't mean to ask for pity, but do you know I don't really feel like coming to church? I don't. Sometimes I felt like quitting the sermon earlier. I don't feel like it, but I came here because I promised I would. I came here because your preacher was willing to take me under my weakened circumstances. I came here because I've been asking God to heal me and enable me to preach again. And it'd be a lack of faith to sit home and do nothing. Now, I don't know what this is doing to my health, but I do know it's good for my character. And I hope it is good for the cause of Christ. Next number is this. What you love will determine what you leave. Everybody leaves something. I haven't turned a TV on in a motel room except to watch a few minutes of the NFL playoffs last fall. I haven't turned a TV on in a motel room in years. I'm not against it. I have TVs in my house. We DVR all kinds of stuff. Because it don't matter how many channels you got on that dish or that cable. There's a whole lot of time ain't nothing worth watching. So we DVR some old things. We like Snowy River, stuff like that. I'm not against TV. But you know what? If I'm watching TV, I'm probably not reading the Bible. I'm probably not praying. I told you, last time I was here, I read the Bible through once a month. It's about 30 pages a day in my Bible. Now, that's no great thing, but it does take a little time. And if it didn't do one thing more for me when I'm reading the Bible, I ain't doing nothing I shouldn't. If that's all it did, it'd be good. Now, it does a lot more. But that's good. Next number is this. There is always a way back. Now, you may commit a sin that causes you to forfeit some service. If I commit adultery, I can no longer preach. That's what I believe the Bible says. I can be forgiven. I can preach at a rescue mission. I can get right with God after a time of rebuilding and restoration. I can teach a Sunday school class. But I could come back to God the next moment. There's always a way back to God. The prodigal son never got through his speech. Daddy interrupted him. Get the robe, kill the calf, get the ring, get some shoes. My son is home. He didn't say, my probationary son. He didn't say, this young man is going to become my son again if he proves himself. He said, my son. There's always a way back. Next one is this. When you're wrong about somebody who wants to return, you ought to be big enough to admit it. I know this is a church gives people opportunity. I'm sure has appropriate standards, requirements, guidelines, protections in place. Does background checks, understand that. That's all good. I know this is a church where if you mess up, you can come back. But I want you to know that God is a God where if you mess up, you can come back. He came to our church, had a long ponytail, leather motorcycle vest, sat up in the balcony of our previous building. Name was Ulysses Garcia. Stopped coming. I checked out. Why? But by the time I got to him, he had already gone to another church. He left our church because he wanted to serve God. And he thought in our church, you had to have a college degree to teach Sunday school. We do not even have a literacy requirement. We have requirements, but not academic. He worked hard in that church, led people to Christ, brought people into the church. Best I can tell, the preacher got jealous. One night, the preacher shows up at his house. Has a long list of complaints. Ulysses said, preacher, I'm sorry. Just tell me what to do. I'll do anything you say. You suppose you could work with somebody like that? Tell me what to do. I'll do anything you say. Remember that line. When you get in trouble, tell me what to do. I'll do anything you say. I don't know why I'm quoting this verse, but it's a great verse in Ecclesiastes. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. Now the preacher said, you'll never darken the doors of this church again. So he got out of church. I heard about it. Went to see him, visited him, called him. Just about every week would call him. I worked him for a year and a half. He finally came back. He got in my Sunday school class. He taught a bus Sunday school class. Brought a lot of people in the church. Great guy. He gave me this ring. I tried to give it back to him, but he made me believe God wanted him to give it to me. He's in heaven now. Ran a little place downtown called the Discount Service Center. One of those places with a hand-painted sign. He fixed lawnmowers and motors of any kind. Could fix about anything. One day a guy came to me and said, hey, Ulysses, our church just a few blocks from yours, your business here, a couple blocks. We're going to shut down and meet in a home. We're going contemporary. If you'd like to buy our building, you can have it for $2,000 down and $200 a month. Ulysses Garcia pulled $2,000 out of his pocket. This is not $2,000. Paid him on the spot. He'd always wanted to have a church downtown Saginaw. Reach the people nobody else went after. He came to me and asked me about it. I said, Brother Ulysses, go ahead. We'll help you. He went down to the county to see if anybody had taken his name. He already had a name picked out. He was afraid somebody might have taken it. But he was very pleased to know the Christ First Fellowship Baptist Church name was still available. They took that old building, fixed it up, put plastic flowers everywhere. made it as pretty as they could. I preached there 2-3 times for them. Every day, they either had soul winning or a church service. Every day. Had a book, kept track of everybody who came, all the offerings, what they did with the money. Everybody got saved. I mean, he worked it with his whole heart and soul. Oh, I probably ought to tell you. When he got the keys and walked into that building, it was the same building about which they had said, "You'll never darken the doors of this church again." They couldn't kick him out then. He owned it. A detour or a departure. You know what it depends on? Whether you come back. And usually what happens, the Lord reminds us in a time like this, that though we're not overtly wrong, we've slipped a little. And he wants us to come back. Lord, bless the invitation. Have your way in your people in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know who needs the message. I wouldn't guess many. I just know I'm supposed to preach it. But if you say, "Brother Ouellette, the Spirit of God spoke into my heart, I need to do business with God because of what he's done in my life tonight. Pray with me." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Father, bless your invitation. Work in your people's heart. We praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.